Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, my name is Tristan Chambers. I am currently living in Lincoln, Nebraska. My background over the last 12 years has really been in digital entertainment and a little bit of startups and just global entertainment as a whole. Started as a influencer on YouTube back in 2012. I built a social and gaming content community in 2013, which is still operating to this day. I launched a marketing agency that became a venture capital fund, and I've also worked with record labels, nonprofits, startup communities, and been an advisor to startups and tons of other fun projects as well.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah, I'm just curious, like, you know, obviously like you've done lots of different things, and I know that if you can talk about maybe like, you know, that you're the founder of Spark. So kind of more about that, like, you know, what you guys do there.
Yeah. So Spark initially was a marketing agency to help content creators and digital talent who really needed help, like growing their personal brands. You know, this was at a point in time, mid-2010s, when social media was sort of on the rise. Instagram and Vine back then, if people remember Vine, were really helping like catapult people's careers, you know. So I was really helping people with doing brand deals. I was helping people with social media and business strategy. Helped as well with bringing brands into the gaming space and did very well with that. Turned it into a startup studio back in 2020 and built a few different projects out of that. Some good, some didn't go as well as I planned. But then 2 years ago, I turned it into a venture capital fund. And, you know, we're also doing some other things, mostly in startup advisory and public markets. But our bread and butter is investing into startups that really prioritize community raising. So, you know, think your WeFunders, Republic, Start Engines of the world that allow people to invest alongside, you know, some of the biggest venture capital funds on the planet.
Awesome. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm curious, like, kind of like how exactly, I guess, like what kind of startups that you're looking for? And like, what you, I mean, are they in the US? Are they like in a, you know, certain part of the country? Like, what do you look for when you're looking for these startups?
Yeah. So right now, I would say we've been predominantly focused on US startups, just for peace of mind. But we have looked at, you know, backing European startups. Sometimes some Australian ones have come our way. The only areas really that we don't touch when it comes to investing are really in military related things, or really any sort of bioscience or pharmaceutical areas, just because there's a lot of regulation, a lot of things can go wrong. In the sense of the military thing, it's mostly because I grew up in a military family, and I know that it's really kind of hard to compete against the military contractors out there.
For sure. So I guess, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can name me without mentioning the specific startup, or if you can kind of like what some of the startups do and yeah, like the ones that you're working with currently.
Yeah, I mean, some of our more notable ones that we invested into Beehive very recently on the back of their Series B. We invested into Skybound Entertainment, which is the creators of the Walking Dead franchise. We've also done some really, I'm trying to think of like all the different companies that we've raised from or that we've helped raise for. Those are always the ones that come to mind that are, I think are like really awesome. There's certainly been other ones in the, you know, the consumer or the media space that we've certainly helped and tried to build. And, you know, there's a couple of other deals that we're really excited about that we've got tentative agreements to acquire shares from.
So like in your mind, right, doing this for some time, like what separates the startups? Like obviously you can help them raise money or you can like invest in them. But the ones that are successful versus the ones who are not successful.
I think that what separates a good startup from being a tremendously successful one really is grit and determination. I've always believed that, and it's one of the things that's even listed on our website, is the type of founders we look for are the people that are going to want to run the gauntlet. You know, that have grit, blood, sweat, tears, like everything. You know, it's not, hey, this is my third or fourth startup, and you know, I hope that, you know, this is the one that becomes a unicorn. For us, it's helping, you know, build startups that really have tremendous potential, or you know, really are on the cusp of being great. I think it also comes down to who you are as a founder, right? In your personality and the culture that you set and an environment, you know, that's really an important thing these days. I think the other big thing is how willing you are to adapt and listen to new ideas, new perspectives. That's something that has really been a focus when I'm investing in founders, is how open are you to feedback? You know, when I invest in a startup, and when Spark does as well, we don't just become an investor, we also become a user in that company's product or service.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing, and I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? Do you want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technology like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. And especially like if you're using it yourself and if you're a customer, I mean, that's a great company because like you see the value, right? You see the need of it. You're not just investing just to invest. Like you also are using it and you believe in it. So with that being said, right, like obviously there's always different times to raise money. Many are raising pre-seed, like, you know, pre-revenue. Some are, you know, waiting until it gets like a certain amount of revenue. In your experience or like what you've invested in, like what's a good place to be raising money in terms of revenue?
You know, that's a good question. I think any point in time is a good time. And my philosophy, you know, that sort of has crafted that, is that it's always great to have money in the bank and like and be like, oh, we have 100,000 or, you know, X millions of dollars in cash on hand. But sometimes it can be a little bit worth it just to have a bigger safety net. I think as well, you know, if you're an early stage company and you're trying to build awareness for the product, like, you know, going out there and raising and getting into big venture capital publications, whether it's like TechCrunch or Newcomer or whomever it may be, that can always be a really great thing. I can't tell you how many times I've invested into a startup that, you know, a week or two later, they're being featured on a NASDAQ billboard. So I think that's something that's always really impressive.
100%. But I guess like I think a challenge sometimes that I've seen, right, is people raise money and they get too careless with it, you know, and then they're out of runway. So how do you minimize that, especially like if they're pre-revenue, right? Like, you know, how do you minimize that? Like, listen, we're going to invest this amount, but ensure the founders understand how much runway they have and how to be diligent about, you know, how to invest their capital.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. For me, it really goes back to my ethos as a founder. Every startup that I've ever created, I have never taken on venture capital, had co-owners, debt equity, loans, nothing. I've always entirely bootstrapped the businesses that I run, and I've always had to strategically play to that. So like in the gaming space, where I spent most of my time crafting brands and building global audiences, I was very smart with looking at what are the bigger lifestyle organizations like FaZe or 100 Thieves doing that I can replicate without, you know, having to spend, you know, even $10,000 to operate. And it's quite easy to do that. So I tell people when looking at startups is I know how to help them with managing their expenses, you know, lowering their burn rates, and really finding their strengths and weaknesses and, you know, turning that into strategic and monetary value for them. And I think that that's something that you don't see out of most angel investors or venture capital groups. But, you know, ultimate thing is that, I've always said to the founders that I've invested into, it will help put you in a better financial position to where you can sleep better at night, knowing that the financial health of the company and the operational sustainability of the company is in a good place.
For sure. So, what would you say is like the biggest challenge that you face day to day when it comes to your businesses?
The biggest challenge. Oh, that's a tough one. I think the toughest one is really making sure that we're on the same playing field as the other bigger brands in our space, whether it's in the gaming space, again, like competing against groups that are backed by private equity or have, tremendous talent development groups, whether it's like, my third startup that I recently created, which is social and entertainment for Gen Z and millennials, we're going up against Disney, Warner, Paramount, as well as some other big name media brands. So it's how do we predict what they're going to do before they do it, and then try and capitalize on that while being located in the middle of the United States versus, being in, LA or New York or Chicago or London.
Yeah, that makes sense. And obviously it's, very global economy. So speaking of that, like another thing you mentioned that you've been focused more so on the US, maybe like a little bit Australia, Europe, but are you looking to kind of expand globally, when it comes to your investing? And if so, like what are some of the trends that you're noticing across the globe?
That's a good question. I've always had this mindset of scaling, reasonably, and from a venture capital standpoint, like that's why we started with US, is just because the existing regulations are easier. And also being that I'm based in the US, it's easier to communicate and connect with people and really help them. With Europe and Australia, those were, cause very conscious ideas of, okay, there's other startups and can be a similar business environment that really, just needs a little bit of a push. I think it'd be great to get into Latin America. I think it'd be great to get into, sort of more Canadian startups. I think that there's always different areas that we'd like to play in, but there's sort of a roadmap to that. And, I plan to sort of have a global impact within the next 2 to 3 years.
That's awesome. So, what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you got started in your business ventures?
Oh man, that's a challenging one for sure. The biggest piece of advice that I could go back and give myself would probably be don't listen to all the criticism that you get and just do what you think is right. I think, for me, I very much focused on trying to build sort of a personal persona, at least in the gaming industry and the online content space, of, really cultivating connections and being sort of a focus, person. But I think ultimately for me, where my strength is just like keeping my head down, working hard, and letting people see the value that I built and letting that speak for itself. I think the other advice that I can also, give for really like anyone listening to this probably would have to be don't be afraid to take risks. No matter if it's a small one, big one, like, and then, don't hide away from it and, learn from it.
Awesome. And that's great advice. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your businesses?
Ooh, that's a good question. On the side of, the gaming community, I mean, we've been around for 11 years now. We're still working on a few different things for the next 4 to 5 years. So, there's a lot under wraps that I can't fully talk about. But I think, we're in a really interesting position where, again, like we're operationally sustainable, we're financially healthy. We've not had to worry about any sorts of problems with franchised environments, changing business models, things like that. Really insulated us from the changes in consumer behavior. I think on the venture capital side, the goal is to really test the waters with doing different kinds of investing, whether it's doing syndicates, whether it's doing different types of fund structures, maybe a little bit of exploration into different regions. As far as with my entertainment startup that I created last year, that's been a passion project. I've spent the last 13 months building a collection of in-house brands that I think really rival what and set the standard for what a modern media company should be for young adults. And I know that the traditional media environment's in a decline right now, but I think that just means more opportunity for us. And who knows, 5, 10 years down the road, we might get the opportunity to buy a big entertainment company if all goes well. That's sort of me manifesting stuff, but that's where I see.
That's exciting. Yeah, we're rooting for you. So, somebody watching this wanted to reach out. Do you mind sharing your website, social media, just best ways to get in contact?
Yeah, so the best way to get in contact with me, I'm really on every social media, but on Twitter, my personal Twitter is at Taze of the God. That's sort of the gaming persona that I've gone by for many years. I'm on LinkedIn. I occasionally post on LinkedIn. I've tried to get better at it. As someone who's a young adult, it's like LinkedIn is something I was like shied away for many years. If you people want to check out Spark, the website is sparkgca.com. For the entertainment startup that I'm creating called GRFK, it's grfk.co. And I, am really looking forward to, what happens from there.
Awesome. Well, Tristan, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely.